listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
I work in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I am delighted to be with you this morning, this Wednesday of Holy Week, and I am here with the director of our office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Kate, and a happy Holy Week to you.
Thank you, and to all of our listeners. It is such a sacred time in our church, and we are delighted that you have taken an hour to be with us, or at least a part of an hour to be with
sure.
us today.
And we're hoping today, because our work is with those in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, to step out of a role that we normally play, and that is talking about issues that are primarily young adult-centered, or for those of you who might be the parents, friends, or grandparents of young adults. And we want to focus today on Holy Week, and we want to make this hour somewhat reflective. Would that be correct?
Yes, we do. Let's do some prayer and some music and some a little bit of scripture and just have some good conversation about the meaning of Holy Week, some of the rituals of Holy Week, the rich traditions of our Catholic faith.
And if this hour becomes somewhat helpful to those of you who might be listening, within a day, that will be tomorrow, Holy Thursday, we'll put this up on our website where you can listen to it on your computer or download it maybe as a gift to someone else before Holy Week ends. And we celebrate the joy of the Lord's resurrection at Easter. And our website is www.yamchicago.org, yamchicago.org.
And on that website, you can let anybody else know about young adult ministry, and they can sign up to receive emails about things happening, especially for people in their 20s and 30s. And we are delighted to have with us in the studio today Mr. Terry Shelley. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Kate.
How
morning,
are you?
John.
Good morning, Terry.
Good. Good. Terry, why don't you tell us who you are, what your title is, and why you're here today?
I'm Terry Shelley, and I run the Young Adult Ministry RUA Project Center for Young Adults. We're trying to take the young adult concept closer to where people live and work. My office is currently at Marion Catholic High School, so if you'd like to contact me, you can. The phone number is 708-756-9752.
And Terry, you're leading the young adult outreach in the southeastern suburbs, right?
South suburbs, yes.
So from Chicago Heights over to the state line with Indiana and through mighty Calumet City and Dalton and
Chicago
Harvey.
Lights,
and
Homewood, Country
Homewood,
Club Hills.
Flossmoor.
Hazelcrest.
Olympia Fields, all those areas.
Wow, that was a pretty nice list.
There you go.
So today we have a question for you, our listeners. We would like to know, how does the passion and death of Christ speak to you? We're going to start there, and we'd love for you to give us a call and just share, is there a particular time in Holy Week that's sacred to you, or a particular prayer, a particular ritual, a particular worship service that you really enjoy? We would love to hear from you what's important to you and exactly why that is. You're welcome to give us a call here at 312-255-8408. Again, 312-255-8408.
And so how does the Passion of Christ, the Passion and Death of Christ on this Wednesday of Holy Week, which has got another name, Spy Wednesday, where Judas, literally spying on Christ, is going to turn him over. His betrayer is at hand. How does it speak to you? What does it say to you and say to me and Terry and Dr. Kate DeVries and those of you who might be listening at home or listening in your car? Because it this is not an event that just happened to Jesus, but it's something that is really, as far as for me, it's core and center to my faith. And that's where we would like to begin and use this hour just unpacking some of the moments of Christ's journey to Golgotha, the Last Supper, Jesus in the garden. At that Last Supper, washing the feet of his disciples. That's such a key part of St. John's Gospel, and that's the Gospel text that will be read on Holy Thursday in our churches. And the journey with Christ to Calvary, his death on the cross, his burial, and then when we gather for his glorious resurrection. So, Kate, how should we begin?
I think we should ask Terry how the Passion speaks to him. Terry, do you have a favorite time during this Holy Week, or what is it about Holy Week that really draws you in?
Well, the first thing is in my parish, I'm in the choir, so we've actually been practicing doing the songs for Holy Week and each one, and as I better know the music, I'm actually praying as I'm singing the songs, and I'm hearing the words and the stories being told over to me, and we've been gathering as a group, you know, 18 or 20 of us, and to go with to gather with my peers and to pray together and be prepared to use song to express what I believe. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I'm a part of my choir too, and the music is coming at us faster than we can deal with it, but it's all so prayerful and beautiful. There's just a special, you know, passion around the music right now, and it really, really, every song speaks a message, and it's just very powerful.
And for myself, I have another role, obviously.
You're pretty busy too, Father Cusick.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Writing homilies while we're learning tunes.
that's really it. I have the privilege of presiding at Holy Thursday evening, and then I have the opportunity as well as the privilege of presiding at the Good Friday service, both at noon at 7 p.m. at Old St. Patrick's in downtown Chicago. And there's a lot of prep time for me. And it's not just preparing to preside at public worship, the celebration of Holy Thursday Mass, or the solemn liturgy of the Passion and Death of Christ on Good Friday, but it's my personal time. And I spend a lot of time trying to, Terry, as you're listening to songs and seeing the music in them, for me to get into the scripture and to get into the ritual. Because if it's not a part of who I am, then how can I communicate that effectively? Mm-hmm. To anyone else. And I've spent a lot of time in the last 3 or 4 days just on the Last Supper, getting an understanding of it, that the Lord, the key line for me this year is, do this in memory of me. Someday when you understand what I've done for you, then you come back and do it. And interestingly, he wants them to come and do it after the events of Good Friday and after the events of resurrection. And they're only going to understand what the Lord did at that Last Supper once they go through everything else. And that's becoming clearer and clearer to me, that what we celebrate in Catholic Mass is this whole event, of the Lord pouring life out to all of us. It's an enormous event of forgiveness. It's an enormous event of salvation in life. And we're privileged because we can do it knowing the journey. But I think for those apostles at that Last Supper, it's my own faith, and I'm only talking about this as an individual Catholic person here, that it really, I don't think they got it. You know, and
it's a
I
hard
think,
thing to get.
Yeah. You know, they didn't get it. I mean, in John's Gospel, Philip, you can see him raising his hand saying, "Lord, now can you show us the Father?" And you can see poor Jesus putting his hands or his head in his hand saying, "Oh, Philip, I've been with you all this time. Don't you understand that he who sees the Father sees me?" And they just were missing that connection, and I know I miss it so often. And that's why Eucharist becomes so important. Keep doing this, because if we keep doing it in the memory of the Lord, then maybe someday we'll get it right. So it's not something that just we receive. We do certainly receive the body of Christ, but we've got to do the action of Christ. And that's where I'm at this Holy Week. We have to be the transformers of the world. We have to, when we hear about all these horrific acts of violence, upstate New York, state of Washington, police getting killed in Pittsburgh, 31 children, school children in Chicago being gunned down. We have to say, no, we will be Christ in the world. We will pour that body. We will break ourselves open as Jesus did.
And we will bring people into communion instead of pushing people away and the war and the violence. Let's make that all end.
Exactly.
All end. We need to go to a break now. Thank you so much for being with us as we journey through this Holy Week. We will be right back.
Johnny Cash, you're listening to. It's a Catholic priest doing his take on the iconic country singer at last year's Padres Plus on Parade. Now the men in black and women are coming back. On Sunday afternoon, April 19th, priests and religious from all over Chicagoland will be showing off their talents at St. Scholastica Academy on the far north side. From country music to show tunes and opera, it will be a memorable day. Ticket sales benefit both the Retirement Fund for Religious and the Priest Retirement Fund. Call now to reserve your tickets, 312-534-8325. That's 312-534-8325. Padres Plus on Parade, 312-534-8325. Witness great talent for a great cause.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
With Mr. Terry Shelley, Father John Cusick, and Dr. Kate DeVries, we are delighted to be with you as we move through this Holy Week. And now we thought we'd talk a little bit about Holy Thursday. And there's a wonderful piece of music called Table Prayer written by Michael Jonkis. And part of that music says, "God of life and of the living, we have gathered in your sight, sharing songs in deep thanksgiving, bearing gifts of bread and wine. We are children of your promise, called together in your name, on a journey to your kingdom, called from darkness into day." And that is part of our Holy Thursday journey. We have on the line with us a very good friend, Mr. Edgardo Reyes. Edgardo, how are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
Good. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Oh, well, thank you for actually giving me the opportunity to, you know, to share, you know, my experience with Holy Week.
Excellent. Edgardo, before you do that, tell us what your role is. Where do you spend your time?
Actually, I'm part of St. Agnes of Bohemia in the Little Village community. I participate with the youth group and Theology on Tap.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for that.
Yes, and actually, it's a very vibrant community, and we have a total of 9 masses every Sunday. So
wow,
we begin from early morning and we go all the way till about 7:30 at night. So
and they are in Spanish mostly.
Yes, most of them are in Spanish.
Okay.
We do have an English mass in the morning.
Okay. All right, good. Well, thank you. So, Edgardo, tell us, for you, what is the meaning of Holy Thursday? What's going on? What's most powerful for you about Holy Week?
Well, I would have to say there's two parts. I was listening to Father Cusick earlier, what he said at the Last Supper. I think that is, you know, a very special moment in which where we have an opportunity to share and unite, you know, ourselves with each other and our Lord, more importantly. And really also the second part, which I believe ties into it, is what happened right after the Last Supper. The example that, you know, our Lord Christ gave us is he began to wash the apostles' feet.
Mm.
Him being at the head of the table kind of reminds me of, you know, my mom, really. You know, she works really hard to you know, have a place in the table for everyone. And usually she's the last one to eat, but she's always worried about everyone else and making sure everybody is has what they need. And I could see that how our Heavenly Father blessed us with Jesus' presence, and you know he was there to give us, you know, a prime example. One of the things that I believe is it's really, it comes down to two things. It's you know, our attitude, and our attitude is, you know, are we sacrificing or are we just, or are we being obedient? In the sense that, you know, we could sacrifice throughout Lent many things, but the example that our Lord gave us was he was obedient, you know, to the Heavenly Father, and thus I believe it was more powerful and much richer relationship. And you actually, I believe, have a better experience in that sense.
And Edgardo, when you talk about attitude, you are so right. It's so different giving something up because you want to or choose to as opposed to because I have to.
Yeah.
You know, there's a huge difference. And your mother, our mothers, people in our lives who put others first, just as Jesus did, put everyone else first. That makes a difference.
Yeah, and that's what I related to the washing of the feet where, you know, I'm sure that it was because he wanted to, and he was able to share, you know, that his love, but at the same time share a good example of how we should, you know, be with one another, especially right after communion. You know, after being at the table, you know, his next step was to serve, you know, and actually partake with one another versus doing anything else. He really was true.
And that makes me think of the Mass itself, where we come together, we are fed at the table of the Lord, and then we are called to serve. So in essence, that celebration, that ritual of the foot washing, Jesus saying, this is what I do, and now I ask you to do the same. That's what we do every Sunday. That's what we do every time we gather.
Right. And Edgardo, I think that's why Eucharist has to happen over and over and over again, so we don't forget it.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think you have an excellent point, Father. With you know, if we really do get it, we would come back. And,
yes.
And you can see a lot of us do. You know, I only pray that more of us would actually gather, you know, every Sunday. But I, you know, to be clear, that is one of my you know, my favorite times in the Holy Week. And actually, all of Lent is Holy Week, you know, I find that to be really special. And then, especially growing up as a young kid, going to Mass on Holy Thursday. I don't think I really grasped what was happening until, you know, just the reoccurring coming back every year. And I think every year there's a little bit more value of the whole experience.
And I think, Edgardo, it's because we have so much more life than we had as a kid. And now we interpret the story of Christ into the lives we lead every day, looking for that value. And I think that's what makes it important. And that's why I'm always trying to invite young adults, don't blow this off. Don't take this casually. This is critically important for the lives we lead, to give them meaning and to understand that sometimes in life's darkest times, the Lord is just it's the Lord who's with us. And so often that's when we can come and say amen to the body of Christ, and we are not alone.
The other piece of it is we are different people every year. Every time Holy Week comes around, we are a year older, a year stronger, a year richer, a year's worth of experiences have happened. We are in a different place, and we are invited to see it differently, to see it through the eyes of where you are today, and hopefully that's different than where you were last year. You're a different person. Edgardo, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts. We really appreciate that. Blessings to you and all of St. Agnes as you move through this week.
Well, thank you very much, and you know, hopefully you have a very, very special Holy Week and a great Easter.
Yeah, and Edgardo, keep us in your prayer tomorrow at Holy Thursday.
Will do.
Okay.
We'll keep you in ours.
Be
thanks,
blessed.
Thanks, Edgardo.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. We are going to go to a break now. We will be right back.
Every tongue confessing, Lord, King of glory now, King of glory now.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever. Great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, you rock.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and Mr. Terry Shelley, and we are moving through Holy Week. Father Cusick?
And I believe we're going to continue our reflection on the passion and death of Christ, and we're going to focus just for a few more minutes on the Jesus washing the feet of his apostles. I always find that to be, what an image. The one who is the leader all of a sudden gets up and takes off an outer garment and wraps a towel. And I imagine these poor guys figured, what in the name of God is he doing now? And he washes their feet. And you can imagine what feet must have looked like at that time in history, where the dirt of the earth was almost looked like a pair of socks, I imagine, it could get us so filthy looking. And there was Jesus with a bowl and washing their feet. Father Francis Lee, good morning.
Good morning, Father John.
How are you today?
Okay, how are you?
Good. And okay. Father Lee, we asked him if he would reflect a little bit on the washing of the feet of Jesus. He mentioned to me yesterday on the telephone that it is one of the real special parts of Holy Week for him. And Father Lee, you're at St. Barbara's in Bridgeport, am I correct?
Yes, you are right.
Wonderful. And that's on Troop Street, right in the almost in the shadow of U.S. Cellular Field, where the mighty White Sox play. Francis, reflect a little bit for those who are listening with us today on the power of the story of the washing of the feet of Jesus. And what does that say to Father Francis Lee?
Well, I believe that's a powerful symbol. It's at the core of our discipleship. Jesus did that for his disciples and asked us to do the same to one another. There is a close connection between servers and the Eucharist. Every time after Mass, at the end of the Mass, we say, "Our Mass is ended. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord."
There you go.
So you have been talking about Eucharist, you know, and servers is very important to us as Christians, as Catholics, and as ministers of the Word of God. It is in serving one another that we make our relationships with God, with ourselves, and with the Church, with others, visible, concrete, and meaningful. And once a year, we do this washing of feet. Like you said, it was very common at the time of Jesus. But it's not a practice we do nowadays every day, you know.
Exactly.
But it reminds us as a powerful symbol and very meaningful ritual that we do. Reminds us that we are called to serve.
Exactly. And it's not about power, it's about service. And I think all of us need to learn that lesson a lot more.
That's true. And in fact, today's Mass, the first reading talks about the suffering servant from the prophet Isaiah. The idea of suffering servant was, you know, meant to, as a lot of biblical scholars would say, it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah says the suffering servant is the one who endures spitting, beaten, even torture for the good of others.
Sure.
And Jesus came, did that for us. And it's not, he didn't seek for power, glory, and to be served by others, but rather he said, I came to serve, not to be served.
Exactly.
So it is in servers that Jesus shows us how to follow him, how to be a good disciple.
And I think, Francis, that's a real challenge for us as well, that it's so easy to be people of authority, people telling people what to do, but to literally serve people and to be there when they need us and need one another, that to me is one of the most powerful lessons that comes out of the Last Supper and one of the great lessons of Holy Week in the life of Christ.
Right.
He did not lord it over anybody. And boy, I'm telling you, I think both in the church and in the culture today, that's a great challenge for an awful lot of people in authority.
That's very true. It's hard for us to serve others always. And sometimes we like to be served, which is okay. Jesus, you know, we need offer opportunities for others to serve. But the important thing is that, first of all, we have to serve. If we serve others, then it's okay for us once in a while to offer the opportunities for others to serve us and the church, especially the community, because we need to get more people involved to serve. And Lent, to me, oftentimes is not about giving up stuff. Yes, it is about sacrifice and offering up some stuff. But more importantly, it's about doing more, you know, for me at least. Praying more, doing more good deeds, and help others more and find more opportunities to serve, make some conscious efforts.
Sure.
You know, for example, sometimes when I drive, there is a stoplight, somebody is there asking for help. I may not help, but during Lent, I'm always conscious of, helping others, and I would try my best to help every time, I stop and see somebody is looking for some kind of help.
Right.
Yeah.
Francis, thank you. Thank you for making us conscious of the service that we need to give others in Jesus' name. And we pray that you have a blessed Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and lead the people of God at St. Barbara's into the glory of Christ's resurrection celebrated on Sunday.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you.
Thank
it's always
you.
A joy.
You too. Have a blessed Holy Triduum and
yes.
Easter.
Okay.
Dr. Katie too.
Thank
okay,
you so
very
much, Father. Have a good one.
Be blessed.
Bye.
And we'll be right back.
Didn't give your love, oh Father of us all. We praise you with our song, thanking you for all that you have done. No greater love is there than your love. No greater love is there than yours, oh God. Your gifts are finer.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Here we stand together in the presence of the Lord.
Welcome to the Light Show with Dr. Kate DeVries, Brother John Cusick, and Mr. Terry, and we are continuing our journey through Holy Week. We had some wonderful guests with us. Edgardo Reyes and Father Francis Lee have been helping us with Holy Thursday, and now we're going to move our attention to Good Friday. Father Cusick?
Well, we're going to begin with Jesus in the garden, and that really is the bridge between Holy Thursday and Good Friday. It's Jesus leaving.
Thursday,
yeah,
apologies.
Jesus. Well, no, it to me is the and for me personally, because what we're asking you all to do who are listening to us today is, you know, what does this say to you? What do these events say? And Terry Shelley, who's with us, talked about preparing music for the people at St. Kieran's and going through the music that it's prayerful. It begins to speak in it speaks to all of us. Well, the Jesus in the garden, to me, is one of the great pieces of Scripture for me personally. And the great line in there, you know, more than just the terror that Jesus is going through, is he's trying to deal, you know. And the great line in Scripture is, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by. And I like this is just Father Cusick taking a little bit of liberty here with the sacred text. But I think what it's really saying is, hey, I don't want to do this. Is there another way we can figure this out? And I don't know about you folks, but I'm there an awful lot. There's an awful lot of things that happen, you know, Terry, that I don't want to do. You know, there are moments when we have to step up. There are moments when we can't keep silent. There are moments when we can't say, well, I'm going to, that's Kate's problem. I'm not going to touch that. Or let's let Father Cusick do that because I don't want to get my hands messy and all of these things. Life is not easy, and there's an awful lot of gray. And there's going to be times when we have to separate ourselves from the crowd. And we have to stand for something. And boy, I'm telling you, Father, if it's possible, I don't want to do this. Is there another way we can do this? And that is so human to me. That presents me with a Jesus that really is in the same arena of life for me every day. And yet the classic response to that is the challenge, Kate, that this presents in my life. Your will, not mine, be done. And can I say that? Can I live that? You know, can I really say your will? You know, and then what is God's will? And here I think we can see it pretty clearly. And I think, again, it's me taking a little bit of liberty with the text. You know, what is your will, not mine, be done, simply saying? I think it's Jesus saying, all right, I bet my entire life on God's plan for me, and I'm not going to waffle today. This is the toughest scene I've been in. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like saying, I can hear him almost saying, Father, okay, I'll bet one more day that your plan is the right one. And I can't help but think that there is a parallel in our popular culture, and that's the women and men who struggle with their own sobriety, and they're able to say a day at a time, okay, I'm going to try it one more time today. And I think the Lord is simply saying, your will, right now, I'm betting my life that God's plan of faithfulness, of bringing communion and love to other people is right, and it's not about me, but it's about Abba. It's about my Father. And so I reflect an awful lot, Kate, on this little section of Scripture.
Father Cusick, you are so right. Jesus prayed that prayer even when his apostles said, teach us how to pray, Lord. He gave us the Our Father and said, you know, pray like this. Say to God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, yeah, on earth as it is in heaven. That's the way he lived. That's the way he loved. That's the way he moved out and did every single thing that he did. That is just so powerful just to see that.
Terry, does that make sense?
It does. To me, the Garden of Gethsemane, anytime you get to a key point in your life, I heard Al McGuire when I was in college, and he said, every day I come to a fork in the road, and I have to make a decision that day what I'm going to do.
Right.
The Garden of Gethsemane says to me, Jesus was coming to that point in his life, and he knew this was not going to be easy. Sometimes we think that people that are courageous, they're not bothered emotionally.
Oh.
What this tells me is he's showing his human side. He doesn't want to do it. It's a decision. But in the end, he decides to be obedient, to follow the path that's meant for him.
Exactly.
And he makes the right choice, even though it's going
right
to be, you know, a big sacrifice.
Oh, to the point of his own death.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is faithfulness. This is, you know, this is what you call giving your life over. Mm. And it's so – and I – you can see it all the time. I mean, I'm sure there are situations of people perhaps who are listening to this right now who have got decisions to make today in their relational lives, in their work lives, among friends, in their own personal lives. And they've got to be able to say, you know, am I going to rationalize this or do I know what the best answer is? And do I have the guts and the courage to say, thy will be done?
And maybe even a different prayer is, Lord, be with me as we move through this together. Mm-hmm. You know, so many things are beyond our control. So to just name, Lord, help me with, you know, I don't have control in this one. Be with me. Help me to understand we're going through this together. Whatever's going to happen, you know, be with me. Hold me close.
You know, it's so many often at times too, Terry, that, you know, we get in these critical moments of decision. We feel really alone. You know, I mean, because, you know, we all have responsibilities. You know, Kate, you and I are responsible for an office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. We have decisions to make. Terry is leading that up in his corporate life prior to coming on board working for the church. There's decisions we have to make. And, man, I'm telling you, you can feel really alone. But I think the key thing here is we are not alone.
Right.
Abba, stay with me. You know, be with me. And we know that somehow if we can, what I mean this in the best sense of the word, collapse into the will of God, then there's a presence that's with us that literally journeyed with Jesus all the days of his life until he breathed his last. And it's that same presence that raised him up. I get very emotional about Jesus in the
powerful
garden.
Powerful stuff.
But it is
powerful
for me stuff, because yes. It's the greatest challenge of my life. And it's the greatest challenge for an awful lot of us. There's certain times you can't rationalize.
Yeah.
And this is one of them.
Great. And on the phone we have Megan with us. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good morning, Meg.
Good morning, Father. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm better when I hear you. How about that?
Megan, thanks for joining us this morning. And tell us your thoughts. Is there something about that Garden of Gethsemane experience that we've been talking about that touches your life?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, just even going off what Father Cusack and Terry said, just the suffering and the pain that Jesus felt, you know, not only as God, but as a human, that is just so comforting to me.
Yeah.
You know, not only during Lent, especially during Lent, but, you know, whenever I meditate on that scene of his life, and, you know, I kind of have that visual from Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, which gives us such a visual image of the pain and the loneliness and the anxiety that he felt, you know, sweating blood. My gosh, that's, you know, well beyond any pain and anxiety that I felt in my life. And it also just, I mean, his loneliness, the way that his friends left him there, and it just, to me, it just shows me that it is God that I do have to turn to in those times, you know, and it's not going to be found in some other distraction in the world. Like, all those things can be helpful, my other relationships, other people, but in the end, I really need to depend on God the Father to help me through that loneliness, that anxiety, whatever it is.
Yeah. And I think, Megan, you mentioned a good word there, loneliness. Boy, some of these decision-making times, you really feel alone, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, they really, even if you're in a crowd, you know, you know that nobody can make this decision for you.
Right.
This is about as alone as it gets. Wow. That's pretty powerful stuff. Anything else, Meg, that sort of jumps off the page to you on the Jesus in the Garden?
No, I just really think, I mean, a friend of mine, like, just going off how we do need to go to God the Father all the time, you know, whenever we do feel these, like, anxiety, this pain, loneliness, anything, we do tend to try to distract ourselves with other things, you know, whether iPod or going shopping or, you know, these other, you know, things of the world, which are in and of themselves good, but
we call that avoidance behavior.
We avoidance, right?
That's right.
Fill up the hole with something else. Let's grab some food, you know.
Right.
I'm a good
right.
stress
let's
eater.
Be busy. Let's go out. Let's go out for a run.
Workaholism.
Let's,
you know.
Let's
all
go
that
to the
stuff.
Gym. Let's turn the iPod up louder.
Yeah. Turn on
a new tune.
Yeah, that's right. You know, let's go out and buy something. You know, sure. Let me clean my room.
Anything at all.
Yeah, but instead, just, you know, sometimes we just need to sit in that anxiety, that fear, that loneliness, and, you know, come to the point where we can say, thy will be done.
Exactly.
Which is hard.
Oh.
Yeah, we're not good at making space, you know, and it's hard to hear God's voice with all the busy stuff we stick into our lives.
Yeah.
But every now and then, if you can take a break and just kind of be. I like to light a candle and just sit. Just be. Not even to pray anything, no words. I don't need words at those times. Just to make some space, which I'm so grateful for this time of year that, you know, after Holy Thursday services, many churches leave their doors open until 10 o'clock or until midnight, and you can just go and pray. You know, Eucharist is right there for you. Sit before the Lord. You're always in the presence of the Lord. Pray. Just be. You don't even have to say anything. God will be with you.
Yeah, and it's learning. I think it is learning how to be and to understand that there is a presence there in the midst of some of the loneliest times of decision-making. And Megan, you're right. You got to turn it over, and you got to say, thy will be done. And can we live with that result? That's a tough one.
Megan, thanks for being with us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Blessed Holy Week to you.
Yeah, have a great Holy Week, Meg.
You too. Take care, guys.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
And we're going to go to break. Thank you so much for being with us.
You were sent to heal the contrast.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, as well as on our website, gather tips to enhance your Lenten journey.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Look on me, Lord Jesus Christ, as you looked on the thief on his cross, and on every sinner whom you have ever forgiven. Look on me, merciful Lord, as you looked on your mother, Mary, standing in sorrow beneath your cross. Let me feel in my heart her compassion for you, and let my eyes weep for the sorrows my sins have caused. Call me from darkness to my Father's house. Give me a new heart and a place at your side at the banquet of your kingdom. Amen.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the chosen one, the Messiah of God. Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Above him there was an inscription that read, This is the King of the Jews. Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes, but this man has done nothing criminal. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus replied, Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when he said this, he breathed his last.
The cross rises in our midst as a symbol of God's everlasting offer of forgiveness and reconciliation, in humanity's everlasting refusal to accept it and to live it. Christ hangs on the cross until the end of time to symbolize God's offer of a new way of being alive in people's refusal to accept it. In the passion and death of Christ, we see clearly and vividly that his Father is an endless flow of life and love into God's people. He takes that life and love into the world of death. In other words, nothing and no human experience are devoid of God's everlasting offer of life, love, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Divine love does not stop at human mortality. The crucifixion of Jesus. What it says to me is so many different things. First of all, Kate and Terry, I grew up with an understanding of sort of a real passive Jesus on the cross. It's just the image maybe of a little kid waiting to die and death getting closer and breath getting shorter. But yet, Terry, as I've poured through these texts and putting together some thoughts and ideas from my own life, the revelation came to me that this is anything but a passive Jesus. I mean, the first line, Kate, that you shared with us this day from the Gospel of Luke is on the cross looking out. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That is an activity. And it's an activity that Jesus lived every day of his life, offering people healing, reconciliation, forgiveness, bringing them into the realm and the plan of God. And here he is at the end moments of humanity. He's at it again. That's a powerful thing for me. And I fail to realize that on the cross, the activity of Christ is going on the way it continued to go on in everything he did. Does that say?
He's still pouring out life.
Yeah.
That's all he was about, pouring out. He healed the sick and the lame walked and the deaf heard and people were fed, the Samaritan woman, people were healed, people were fully alive.
And he didn't hold things against people. It would be so easy in that situation, Terry, to simply say, you goofballs. No, it's forgive them. They don't understand. They didn't get it. And maybe now they'll get it, or maybe in the future they'll get it. But I'm going to keep doing what I've always done. And I think the same thing, the other one, Kate, that jumps off. Someone once said to me, how could you summarize the life of Jesus Christ? I said, pretty easy. It's about reconciliation and communion. Mm. It's bringing people together, and it's making sure that they be free, let go to follow God and not have anything get in the way. And I think that this image of the second one on the cross of communion is with what we call the good thief. Mm. You know, he really literally reaches out to the Lord and says, you know, and he doesn't call him Messiah, doesn't call him King. He doesn't use all those titles, Kate, that you read that are there in the Gospel of Luke. Instead, he simply says Jesus, and he calls him who he is, the one who will save the people from their sins. Jesus, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And ironically, the kingdom is right there. The kingdom is always one of bringing people into God and where people are one with God. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, I always had this notion that today is sometime later in the day. Well, today is right now. Mm-hmm. And I think in Scripture, Terry, when he's saying today, it's a way of saying right now, you are with me in paradise. And people would say, my God, that's certainly not paradise. You got a couple people dying. No, it was paradise because it's a reference to Genesis. And what was the reference of paradise? Adam and Eve walking with Yahweh God. They were in total communion with God. And here, Jesus pouring God's love out to this person who's looking to be connected to the kingdom right now. You are with me in paradise. You are connected to God, and this is the kingdom of God. In the darkest moment, the Lord is keeping doing it. Wow.
What do you? Powerful stuff, Father Cusick.
Yeah. No, it really is. And it is to me. That's always been my reflection. So when I look at the cross, I really see this constant activity of Christ. I don't see dying as much as I see life being poured out. And to the point, he breathed his last. And I like to use an image here. What was the first way that humanity came to life? Yahweh God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And so breath is a symbol of life. And here he breathed his last. I was with my mom when she breathed her last, and how sacred that is. And yet I think here that this is not just the end of something, it's also the beginning of something. He breathed his last breath on the world. He gave it life, just as Abba, the Creator God, did it to Adam. He's breathed life on the world right to the very end. And that's a powerful image to me. They did not kill Jesus. He said, I lay down my life freely in order to take it up again. And to the very end, he's breathing life into the world. Good Friday, the crucifixion.
Whew. And the power of the cross. And we strongly encourage everyone to find your church and find a place. And on Good Friday, we have the beautiful ritual of the veneration of the cross, where people are invited forward and to bow or to kiss the cross or just to pray before the cross, just to let that symbol speak to you what God wants to speak to you through the cross. So interesting, and again, to be part of that, to be with other Christians as we celebrate, remember, and listen for what it has to say for us.
So we are praying today for all of you who are with us, that this Holy Week be a sacred time, and that you see in these days, in a compact form, from the Last Supper to the death of Christ, the entire life of Christ being poured out for other people. And it'd probably be appropriate that as we go out on this Wednesday of Holy Week, that we allow music, Terry, to speak for us, to pray for us, and we pray for a blessed Holy Week for you, and we pray that when you break bread on Sunday in our churches, we know that God's life is stronger than any human violence.
Amen.
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 His right hand has won victory for him. His holy arm, let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the rivers clap their hands, the mountains shout with them. For joy before the Lord, for joy before the Lord. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. Wondrous deeds. His right hand has won.